something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Southwest Zone 3, Plot 4 Bolahon Adeyike Street, off Kweri Road, Abeokuta, Ogun State. Worship with us on Sundays 8 a.m. or Wednesdays 5:30 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 081-66-248103 or 081-64-445765. Or send an email to radiotransmissions@lovevault360.com.
This is the continuation of the message, Maintain a Joyful Heart.
Hallelujah.
Have you ever seen people who love to, the love their trouble? They like it when some people are against them. And so they talk about it. They protect the problem. They keep talking about how they were mistreated by someone. And then the other one, and then the other one. Well, such is life. They feel like they're going through something. And they love it. They don't want to come out of it. They love to go through this persecution, as it were. And the feeling that they are alone and persecuted. And they don't have friends except you that they can talk to. You are the only one I can tell these things, you know. And you keep telling him or telling her, and she's just listening to your stories. Things just never get better. 3 weeks later, you're back again. It's the same story. It just never changes. And you are secretly happy to be going through this thing. Because if you're not going through it, you're not yourself. How many of you like trouble? You said, no, I don't like trouble. I don't really like trouble. But why do you preserve your trouble? Why do you preserve it? Why do you protect it? Why do you love it so much? I'll give you a simple example so you can know how you love trouble sometimes. Imagine that someone has offended you. And you're waiting for that person to come and apologize. And then he's not coming to apologize. He's even acting as though he didn't do nothing wrong. Every day you see him, you're like, is it that he doesn't know what he did? Now you are carrying the burden of this frustration. But you don't realize it. You are unhappy. But he's looking happy. Everything is normal with him. And you can't believe it. But you're still waiting for him to apologize. You might even get to the point where you begin to pray to God to knock him out and tell him to come and apologize to you. And he's not coming. You know you can have stomach ulcer because of that. It's true. You can have an ulcer because of that. Because the happier you see him, the more frustrated you are. Because you want to see him knocked out and sad. Now you know. Or he should come and apologize to the great you. Now, I tell you how to fix that. Instead of wasting days and weeks and months staying and remaining frustrated because of this, whatever it is, whatever you might want to call him, that refused to come to you to apologize. And now you're unhappy and it's affecting you everywhere. Maybe now you're coming late to work because of that. There are things you're supposed to do you can't do just because every time you're working, that thing goes through your mind. He still hasn't apologized. And then you stop your work. You're thinking, he's not there. He's just going through your mind. You've traveled in your mind back to the land of frustration. 2 hours gone. You're supposed to submit something. You haven't even started. Then suddenly you wake up and you come back to yourself. Suddenly you hear his voice quite close. You pack your things. You have closed. Because he has come close. Instead of doing that, why don't you just go and apologize and end it? You take the step. Go and apologize. You apologize. And when you apologize, the whole thing will come to an end. And you start living happy. You say, I should apologize. He offended me. I know he offended you. But you see, the thing is affecting you and is destroying your life. So why don't you bring it to an abrupt stop by going to him to say, I'm sorry about that. He will say, ah, I thought I was the one that offended. No, I'm tired of keeping things like this. You'd find that you are the master of circumstances. So they will not dictate how you live. God needs you to be joyful for you to be successful. God needs you to be happy for you to be successful. You need it. You need it. A lady died of cancer. Why did she die of cancer? When the cancer started, and I was informed, I sent a message to her that she should stop worrying about her husband because, you know, she had so many things against her husband. You know, he was living wild. He was just, you know, I mean, if he did come to her Sunday service, it was a miracle. The pastor was happy. She was happy. Everybody was happy that he came. But then, of course, it'll be some weeks. So I sent a message to her. I said, you are in a greater problem than your husband. Let your husband go. In other words, stop holding these grudges against your husband because this is the reason for your cancer. No prayer can help you. What you need is to forgive and to forgive genuinely. Oh, she said she tried. Well, maybe she tried, but somehow he got worse and really misbehaved a little more. And she was frustrated. She got more angry and the cancer got larger. Then I said, I don't think, if you don't forgive your husband, if you're going to keep this kind of feeling and hold your bitterness, this cancer will kill you because you've given it a home in your life. But what is God going to do about him? That was her anger. God's not going to do anything about him. God wants to do something about you. Think about what God wants to do with your life and stop worrying about him. If you stop worrying about him, God will be able to do something about him. But as long as you're worried about him, God can do nothing with your life. And then you create a home for Satan. Oh, she said, okay. Then she got healed. Then she got angry again. And the cancer came back. And when the cancer came back, her frustration just went wild. And the husband wasn't changing. And then she died of it. The cancer killed her. She didn't die of cancer because cancer was a great, great enemy. No, she died of cancer because she just wouldn't let the cancer go. The cancer was the unforgiveness that she had in her heart. Understand something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tool. It's a marvelous tool for your own happiness. When you give that forgiveness, okay, when you give it to someone else, you don't give it because, you know, they were so wrong, or you were so right. It's got nothing to do with right and wrong. It's in your own interest. You forgive. Don't wait for them to apologize. Apology and repentance are not the same anyway. Just because somebody apologized to you doesn't mean he's repentant. So if someone says, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean he has changed his way of thinking. He might still hold to the same opinion and do the same thing next time. So apology is not repentance. You know, in our country, apology is a currency. And I tell people, don't use apology as a currency. Ah, but I've apologized. They think that they have bought the forgiveness with apology. But I've apologized, haven't I? I said I'm sorry. Have I not said it? So they think that once they have presented that apology, they ought to get their money's worth. You get it, you know. The apology ought to get for them whatever it is they wanted. He came late. And I said, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. And the man says, no, you're not entering. Sorry now. Because he's surprised. After saying sorry. Because to him, his apology is a currency. He has presented the currency for purchase. So give me my commodity.
Hallelujah.
If you've not been born again, don't keep wasting time. It's time to give your heart to the Lord. It's time. It's time. So everyone who wants to be born again, and you want the life of Christ in your heart, you want Jesus Christ come into your heart, I want you to say these words after me. And mean them from the bottom of your heart. Say, oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ.
the Son of God. I believe he died to save my soul. I believe God raised him up from the dead, and he's alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart, into my spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have a new life now. I am born again. I'm a child of God from this day. Amen. Praise God. If you pray that prayer, I want you to know that God heard you and answered you. I want to pray for you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone who just received salvation. Let the name of the Lord Jesus be named upon them. Satan has no claims over them anymore. They belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed now. You're blessed. In the name of Jesus. Write us and let us know you received salvation today, or you can call us on the phone. Be glad to hear from you. And when we get your details, we can send you a book. It's a small book titled Now That You Are Born Again. It'll help you start out your new life in Christ and begin building your faith immediately. Call us on the phone right now.
For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 081-66-248103 or 081-64-445765, or send an email to radiotransmissions@lovevault360.com.
You know, being in Christ Embassy is more than being in a church. It's more than a church. It's a vision. And when you worship at Christ Embassy, you learn more than just the letters. It's the spirit of the word. And something more about it is the fact that the Spirit of God gets a hold of your life, and then his vision becomes real, not only to you, but he makes that vision real in such a way that others get to know what the Word of God really is by watching the Word of God manifested in your life every day. And that's what we do. We share God's Word every day. As we minister, the Word of God takes root in each person, and then you become exactly what God wants you to be. And that's the reason I like people to come to Christ Embassy. That's the reason I invite them, because they are being a part of something that's more than a church. It's a vision, God's vision.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Southwest Zone 3, Plot 4, Bolahan Adeyinka Street, off Kweri Road, Abeokuta, Ogun State. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like us to pray with you or to share your testimony, please call 081-66-248103 or 081-64-445765, or send an email to radiotransmissions@lovevault360.com. God bless you.
This message is titled Maintain a Joyful Heart.
For the continuation of this message, please visit www.lovevault.fm to listen daily by 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. GMT plus 1. To order for the complete message, please visit Pastor Chris Digital Library app on Android and iOS, or please call us on +234-188-834-34 or +234-802-332-4188, or send an email to radiotransmissions@lovevault360.com. Remember, one word from God can change your life forever. God bless you.